I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name for evermore. For great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Who is like thee unto thee, O Lord, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? I will praise the Lord with a song. Lord, help us to do so from the heart, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn to Luke's Gospel, and if you've got a Bible, chapter 2, chapter 1 and verse 46. Welcome everybody, thank those who read, and we're glad that you've been done your journey. The traffic is difficult today. And thank you all who've taken part and all those who will in the meal. Now we turn to verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." This is how Mary tackled the first Christmas, the nativity of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. How have you tackled it? How has your week been? How is your heart praising? And how do you feel? Do you feel rushed, bothered, upset? Do you feel that the weight of Christmas is on you? Or do you feel like Mary? My heart rejoices. What I want you to do this morning is to leave here rejoicing. I know it's difficult. Now Mary had a problem. The angel came to her, and the angel told her she would have a son, and she was troubled. And when the angel went on, she cast about in her mind what this was about, and she was deeply troubled. The whole thing bothered her. My friend, when you get alone with the Bible, when you get alone on your own, away from other Christians, I will guarantee you, you are troubled in spirit. I will guarantee you, even if the Bible speaks to you, that still you have a trouble in spirit. But Mary got over that trouble when she went up into the hill country and met her cousin Elizabeth. The moment she met another believer, the cloud lifted. And from your mind, nothing will lift the cloud except being with other believers. Those who cut themselves off from other believers do themselves great damage, which is everlasting damage. Now when Elizabeth saw Mary, she reassured her. She said, "The babe leapt in my womb for joy." That was John the Baptist. She said, "Why should the mother of my Lord come to me?" She confirmed everything the angel has said. Now if you want the Bible confirmed, if you want what you're thinking confirmed, come amongst us. Come with us. Be with us. You cannot be away. That is the first thing. Now the next thing, if you look at this story about Mary, is this. That the Bible brings us all sorts of things, all sorts, but not the joy of this. It can bring you peace of heart. It can rebuke you and set you right on the road. But this joy belongs to something more. Now I want you to go away rejoicing. You see, Mary not only found joy, but she found something deeper. I want to put it to you like this, that what Mary found was in her spirit. Now, when you meet another believer, you can do one of two things. You can restrain your spirit with a curb, or you can let your spirit out and put your heart on your sleeve and risk getting badly hurt. Now, what Mary did was open the depths of her heart to other believers. When you're sitting in this room, is your spirit right with my spirit? Are you one with me that you want to open your heart completely to God in a way you've never done before, I want to tell you something which is true. I have found at times that the Lord Jesus Christ has visited me. Have you ever had that experience? If you've never had it, you've never begun to live as a Christian. I read of a Puritan who said that he was on a journey, and that as he stooped down to drink at a stream, having got off his horse, he'd been riding all day, his head caught a branch and cut a great gash in his forehead. And he got to an inn that night, wounded and tired and hungry, and there were no beds. He had to sit at a table, and he sat there all night. And he said, as he began to pray, the Spirit of God came upon him. Have you never had the experience that unawares my spirit was lifted up to the chariots of Aminadab? And he said, I sat there all night in a rapture with the Lord. He said, I don't know anything about that night except that the Lord was with me and close. Now, I'll bear my heart to you. I have known nights like that, when I got into bed and the Spirit spoke to me, so that when morning dawned, I was just rejoicing in the Lord in prayer and full of praise. So all night long it had gone on. Have you never known that? Have you never had Jesus speak to you personally? Not by a book, not by something else. God spoke to Mary through an angel and she was depressed. God spoke to Mary through another believer and she was lifted up to the skies. And the difference was that the Spirit of God was given to the other believer and to her. My friend, if you think that you have the Spirit of God exclusive of other believers, you are a fool. You are a spiritual idiot. You've got nowhere in the Christian life. You cannot have the Spirit alone. The Spirit is given to us. Our Father. Not my Father. That's how we pray. Jesus taught us to pray that way. The Spirit is given to us as a group. And in the Spirit we rejoice. And when we separate ourselves from the group, we do great damage, and we do great damage to ourselves and to others. The rejoicing is common, the Spirit is common, and he's amongst us now. Now that is what happened to Mary on that day. And why did she rejoice? She said, look at the words yourself, for verse 46. My soul doth magnify the Lord. She said, my soul makes God great. Now, I can't make God out there, but the kingdom of God is within you and among you. So today, we are lifting up the praises of the Lord God, and we are magnifying him to the very height of the throne of God. And our spirits are in heaven, though our bodies are on earth, and we're walking with God through far above the clouds, in the very heaven of heavens, and our spirits bow down before the throne. We magnify the Lord God. Now that is Christmas. Not eating, not drinking, not presents, not trees, not anything else. It's this, magnifying God to the utmost. That's what Mary did. And that's what you fail to do in life. And that's your great failure in life. You've never magnified God like that. I will magnify thee, O Lord my God, whether by life or by death. Let us then magnify his name together. And this acts the very beginning of her rejoicing. My spirit hath rejoiced. Let go. Let your spirit go. Take the look off your face. Let it rejoice. If your mouth won't smile, make it. Let yourself rejoice and go. Give up all the inhibitions with one another and just rejoice. That's what God has called us to. To a utter season of rejoicing. That's what the feast is all about. Rejoicing like Mary did. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. She calls him the Lord and God. And that's because she was a sinner. You see, Mary came from a village, no doubt about it. And she must have had their sisters. Families were big in those days, and brothers. And I expect they outshone her. And I don't expect she was the clever one. And I don't expect she was the favourite of her mother. And I don't expect she was the favourite of her father. If her father lived and her mother lived, there were many, many families brought up by one in those days, because mothers died very, very young. Their average age was very young. But Mary was chosen by God. And Mary rejoiced in it. She suddenly knew, I who am nobody, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and now the blessed woman of the ages. Never be afraid to say this about Mary. She is the woman of all women. She is a prophetess. So was Elizabeth a prophetess. And they prophesied together. And there's wonderful prophecies we sing in every service we can. They're beautiful prophecies. They're we honour women as prophets, because God honoured them as prophets. That is why, not because we're in rebellion against some way of looking at things, but God made her a prophet. God said she's blessed above women, like Jael, the wife of Heber, blessed art thou above women. They're very similar, the blessings on Jael and on Mary. And if you look at this wonderful book, it raises Mary to the heights. Now I'll tell you, and I have to end, this is why God wants you to rejoice at Christmas. Can you just forget everything else I've said and just remember this? Yea, a sword also, said Simeon, shall pierce thine own soul. She stood in front of a cross with her son, with his back terribly beaten, hung with nails to his hands and feet, dying. Could any mother have more to suffer than that? She stood there and her heart broke. Yea, a sword also shall pierce thine own soul. Her very soul was pierced. Now, God wants to strengthen you to face 2008. In it, who knows if one terrible thing shan't happen to you. You don't know. During the last year, I've seen cancer hit one of my family, and I've seen a severe heart condition on another. We are asked today to pray for Calvin's eldest son of 19, who has just had an irregular heartbeat, being referred to a cardiac specialist, and they expect there's an operation soon. We've seen what happened with the Ratcliffe's. A little girl born in that condition, and then with heart condition. You don't know what's going to happen to you. Yea, a sword also shall pierce thine own soul. And that is why you rejoice. Our strength is to rejoice. Our strength is rejoicing in God. Whilst I rejoice, the devil can't touch me. Once I stop rejoicing and my feet descend to earth again, the devil can trip them up and knock me down and bite me in his serpent way. But when I'm rejoicing, my feet are elevated miles above this earth. Now I ask you, seek one thing. Seek to let go and rejoice. And rejoice together. God bless you this Christmas. Amen. Now, we just got prayers to end our service.